Welcome to BunSports.com as we are through week four of the college football season and on the road to week five. This is the BunSports.com podcast on Tuesday. I'm Jacob Bunn. I'll be joined by the college football professor. It's presented by PrepTix, and we'll tell you a little bit more about PrepTix later on in the show. But we're going to go through some games that are upcoming and review some of the action of this past week, and we'll start in Baton Rouge, where Mississippi State and LSU played, and LSU was able to come up. Mississippi State was able to get the 34-29 victory over the Tigers. It was a little bit surprising to see Mississippi State push LSU around.
Yes, I don't think the outcome was that surprising. I mean, well, I thought LSU would win the game, but I never dreamed that Mississippi State would go into Baton Rouge and push LSU around. And really, the final score was not didn't tell the story of that game.
34-29, as I fumbled over that a minute ago, was the final score. Dak Prescott was sensational, and Mississippi State put up more yards, 570 yards, than has ever been put on a Les Miles defense while he's at LSU. Quite an impressive showing for the Bulldogs. So as they move forward, we'll talk a little bit more about their prospects. But we'll also go over to Tuscaloosa, where Alabama romped in the second half to a 42-21 victory over Florida. And, I mean, I could just go through the numbers all day long. We already know, you've already heard by now, I'm sure, Amari Cooper, 10 receptions, 201 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And how about Blake Sims? There was uncertainty at the quarterback position for Alabama. I believe it is no more. He was 23 of 33 for 445 yards with 4 touchdowns and 1 interception. Early on, it was a lot of fumbles for the Crimson Tide, but they were able to right the ship and look very impressive in the second half.
Yes, after making all those turnovers and coming out the way they did, they showed a dominance in that game. And I think Blake Sims, the big question was, he can run pretty well. He can throw the short pass very well, but can he throw the long pass? Well, in that game, he threw the long pass and threw it very well.
He did. And what do you think right now as we go forward? This was one of Alabama's biggest defensive tests, Florida. Now the Crimson Tide are 4-0, and they're heading into an open week, and they have Ole Miss next week after the bye week. So where do you think this team is right now? Do you think they're the best team in the country?
Right now, I would have to say they are. Their defense is really beginning to play at a high level, and they're showing improvement there. I think that's because of the defensive line. Their defensive line looks really, really good. And, of course, you got Landon Collins roaming the backfield, and that makes a very good defense.
Some other numbers from Alabama. They're averaging 78 plays a game. That is the most in Saban's 8 seasons. They were 65.5 last year. As I mentioned, Blake Sims and Amari Cooper broke the record, and Blake Sims almost broke the passing record, but the 645 yards Alabama. This is the biggest stat of the game for me, and it has nothing to do with Alabama. The 645 yards of total offense is the second most under Nick Saban. It's the most ever allowed by a Florida defense. That has got to concern the folks in Gainesville, Florida. So my next question to you is, where does Florida go from here, and how hot is Will Muschamp's seat right now?
I think it's very hot, but I really think, though, the proof of his season is going to be ahead of him. I don't think they came into Tuscaloosa really thinking they would win that game. Now, they didn't think they would lose by the margin they did and be dominated like they were. But can he gather the forces and be ready for Tennessee? That's the question.
23-17 in overtime, Florida State was able to get the win over Clemson. And I want to get your thoughts on not just the game, but also Jameis Winston. He was suspended, of course, as we alluded to last week, what he did there that caused him to be suspended. And Sean McGuire played a pretty good game for him and was able to pull out the win in the end. I really think Clemson gave that game away. But regardless of all that, how do you see this number one ranked Florida State team right now? They didn't have Jameis Winston, but they have him back now.
I don't think this team is anywhere close at this point as good as the team they had last year. Now, Jameis Winston, let's think about that for a minute. It's kind of interesting when they say, well, we didn't know until late midnight. Of course, the game was a night game, and it was just overlooked. Now, you tell me, Jacob, how do you overlook that when all the nation had their eyes on Jameis Winston, all the nation was talking about it, but yet they couldn't remember that they had still had his uniform and his pads there for him to put on.
Yeah, that's a weak excuse, really. It sounds very weak. And to be honest, everything that comes out of Florida State right now sounds weak, especially the things that have been said by Jimbo Fisher. I'm pretty disappointed, to be honest with you. I think Jimbo Fisher is an excellent football coach. I think he has made a really bad mistake here in selling a little bit to Jameis Winston. All right, Auburn at Kansas State, that was a 20-14 win. We haven't had a chance to discuss that. That was on Thursday night. What do you make of the Tigers hanging on there in Manhattan?
Well, I think they played well. I think Kansas State played well. I thought that going into the game that Auburn's talent would just overrule whatever Kansas State put up. But Kansas State came to play with a plan, and it was a very big win, as it turns out, for Auburn. You might say, well, they only won by 6 points. But let me tell you, that was a big win for them.
Let's talk about some surprise teams. There's one in the ACC that was a surprise last year, and then they're surprised again this year. Maybe it's just David Cutcliffe is a pretty good football coach.
Yeah, I think that Duke is a surprise to me. Not the fact that he should have, you know, or had a good chance of winning all the games that he's played, four of them. But we know in years past that they would have done well to have won two of those. I don't care who they were playing. But it's the margin. Think about this, Jacob. Duke beat Kansas 41-3, and they beat Tulane 47-13. That's big-time wins.
It is, and I really think Duke has a chance this year to win that division again. I really do. If you look at it, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, they're not doing so well, so I think Duke has a chance. East Carolina just obliterated North Carolina this past weekend, and they are on a roll. They didn't beat South Carolina, but they came close to being undefeated.
Well, you see, that's why we ought to look at the whole season. You know, everybody was trying to say that, well, South Carolina, they struggled with with East Carolina. Well, you struggle with a good team, but you beat them, and they were able to beat them without, you know, not much of a margin, but a good margin. So they were really defeating a really good team, but yet wasn't getting the credit for it. I think now you look back, you might give South Carolina a little credit.
70-41 was the final in that one. All right, some standout performers so far. You've got two receivers.
Yeah, you know, we didn't know it, but in that first game of the year when Alabama and West Virginia played, that we might have been watching the two premier receivers in the country that night. Now, they looked like it in the game. Well, they've continued to look like it. Both Amari Cooper and Kevin White are really outstanding receivers and having a great year.
What about running backs?
Well, James Conner's piling up the yards with Pitt. Mm-hmm. Why does Pitt always come up with an outstanding runner? And then Amir Abdullah for Nebraska is very good. But even though they may have more yards than Todd Gurley, Todd Gurley is still the captain of the ship.
He is indeed. And I think Todd Gurley, Amari Cooper right now, you look at Kenny Hill and Dak Prescott at Mississippi State, probably the hottest players right now in the SEC. And the defensive, well, you have quarterback Kenny Hill on there.
You're right. And quarterback Kenny Hill's having a great year. But we'll let that play out a little bit. And then Landon Collins is really having a great year for Alabama as a defensive back.
Let's talk about next week. We have number 11 UCLA visiting Arizona State. This is a Thursday night game. What are the implications here for the Pac-12?
I think this could be a huge game in the outcome of the Pac-12. And this is going to really be a good game. Jacob, these are two good football players, football teams. Now, I would have to say that in up until this point, Arizona State's looked a little bit better. But UCLA, they struggled with a couple of games they shouldn't have struggled with. But we'll just see. Now, is their quarterback available? You know, he got injured. I'm not sure if he's going to be available this game or not.
Yeah, that's a good question. And Arkansas, Texas A&M is this week's CBS game. And you look at the SEC slate and you say, well, it's not really that fascinating of a week. But it is. This game is, anyway. You have Alex Collins and Jonathan Williams. What do you see in this game, and what are the keys to either team here?
Well, again, here Arkansas is really showing that they are that tough, just knock them down, drag them out type football is beginning to take hold there in Arkansas, and they really have good running backs. So the question is, can they take the ball and hold it and keep it away from Texas A&M? That's going to be a good question. The second question will be, can Arkansas's defense do anything with Texas A&M when they've got the ball?
Any chance Ohio State gets upset by Cincinnati this weekend?
I think if you were asking me what is the most prime game for an upset, I might look at this game. I might look at the Cincinnati at Ohio State. But I don't know. That's just a hunch I've got.
Interesting game in the SEC East. You know, Tennessee has not lost a game yet in conference. Neither has Missouri, but I think those are the only two. But Tennessee has yet to lose a game in the conference. They play Georgia. Is it possible that the Vols could start off and get on a roll here and perhaps contend for the East?
It's possible. I don't see it happening, but it's possible. And you know, that game always carries with it, you know, there's a little bit of they give their best, both Tennessee and Georgia, in this game. So it might be worth watching in the sense of seeing who does come out a winner. And I know that the game will be very interesting.
Big two-game stretch of the Vols they have at Georgia, and then they host Florida. And Missouri, South Carolina, this is where game day is going to be. And, man, what an embarrassing loss Missouri had this past weekend to Indiana, 31-27.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at this game as going to be a really big game. But now we wonder, with Missouri losing to Indiana, is it really worth mentioning? But I think it is. I think this could be a pivotal game for both teams if they have any kind of championship hopes still alive.
And then finally, I'd like to hear your top four, or you can expand it to five, maybe even six, after 4 weeks of play. How do you see it?
I still think that right now, Alabama, Oklahoma, Oregon, Auburn, Florida State, and Texas A&M are the teams that, at this point, seem to be moving toward the top. And I think I would put Alabama, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Auburn ahead of the other two.
Well, I think that it's hard to argue with that. There are going to be some fantastic games over the month of October and November. And to watch those games, I'm going to tell you about the newest way to buy and sell tickets for high school sports and events, as well as middle school and elementary sports and events and activities and other events. This is called PrepTix. It's located in Birmingham, Alabama. And if you want to buy and sell tickets, especially for high school and small sporting events, this is the way to do it. It's called PrepTix, and we will tell you more about that in the future. But for the college football professor, I'm Jacob Bunn. On this Tuesday, September 23rd, we are rolling toward week 5 of the college football season. We'll talk next week.